This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you're already hosting guests on Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet.
It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include the welcome book, turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, and other great bonuses you don't want to miss.
Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can grab your seat for just $67. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get all the deets. Now, on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey, listeners, welcome back. Another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. All right. It's time to share one of you because we are, of course, nothing without you. And the short-term rental industry is nothing without great hosts. So thank you so much for using our hashtag on Instagram, STRShareSunday. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
We are sharing at Farand1854. And that is... Farand1854.
You guys.
They have the most dreamy pink front door. It is too good. We could spend, honestly, probably an hour going through all the amazing things that they are doing right on their listing. But Sarah, you want to give us a little... you could do it all here. You could have a wedding here. You could have an event here.
It's an event space. It's an overnight space. So if any of you listeners are out there like, yeah, I love this like overnight situation, but I want to do more with my property, you should check out this account and see how they're doing it. They're killing it. I mean, every image they share is Instagrammable. The interior design is on point. They just have a really great way of capturing the essence of the kind of experience you could have should you put your trust into them to have the wedding or a reunion or, you know, or a honeymoon situation.
This house, the reason they have 1854 in their handle is their home was built in 1854. Yeah. So there is a storied past. But one thing that really stands out that Sarah and I haven't mentioned prior, I don't think, on their actual Instagram feed and on their website, you can purchase products that they have created specific to their property. Maybe it's a jam or a t-shirt. Or a tote bag. So I just love that they are adding on an additional revenue stream for themselves and elevating that guest experience because they have that memento, that takeaway. You know, you do it when you go to a hotel or to, you know, sometimes if you're, wherever you are out of town, you get those little mementos so you can remember where you stayed. So I really want to say, take a peek at them, look at what they're doing. They are crushing it and give them that like and follow on Instagram. And if you haven't yet, make sure to use our hashtag STRShareSunday. That way we can share your space so you can live your dream.
All right. On to the show, Annette, shall we?
Yes. I feel like we should have a drum roll or something for today's guest.
We have an Airbnb celebrity, if you will. We have the author of Million Dollar Host and now a consultant in the STR industry, Julie George. She listed her first property on Airbnb in 2016, less than 3 years later. later, you guys, she was managing 130 properties on Airbnb for property owners and had amassed in excess of $8 million in bookings. In late 2019, Julie sold her property management business to a larger company. Julie now is considered one of the world's leading experts in short-term rentals and mentors other budding entrepreneurs on how to build a successful business in the sharing economy. Julie, welcome to our show.
Hello.
we are so excited to have Julie on today. And honestly, we're just going to get right into it. Julie, tell us your story and how you even got started with Airbnb.
No, thank you once again for having me. And look, my story is one of my favorite stories to tell. Look, if it can motivate just one other listener, one other lady out there that's looking to create a business for herself, or any budding entrepreneurs, I've done my job. So 2016, I had a long-term tenant give me notice on a property that I was receiving $240 a week in rent on. It was already furnished, so it was pretty easy. I just had to put the linen in, connect the power, put the Wi-Fi on, and create a listing on Airbnb. So easy enough to do. And within minutes, I had my first booking. Look, so the cha-ching moment came when I started earning more than $600 a week in comparison to my $240. And I went, here's a solution to a problem that a lot of property investors are facing. And I can jump on board, offer this service to other people, manage their properties for them. And so I got started. I started creating a business called Host My Home, which is a property management company based in Australia. So I'm based on the Great Barrier Reef, a place called Cairns, nice sunny Cairns. But look, within 3 years, 130 properties, we bought in $8 million. People kept asking me over and over and over again, how did you do it? What did you do? And to be quite honest, I had a 21-year-old son who didn't really take much interest in what mum had done. So I thought, bugger it, I'm going to offer a solution to all these issues. I'm going to write a book. So Million Dollar Host was published, and a bit of a legacy, telling my own personal story, but also inspiring and showing people how they can do it themselves. And then that took off, became a bestseller around the world, and somebody came knocking on my, well, tapping me on the shoulder, wanting to buy my business. So just to free up some time, I sold the business just before COVID. How good was that?
Yeah, I was going to say that was timely.
Timing. So now I get to speak to people all over the world, just like you ladies, and hopefully inspire others to do the same.
Did you have any sort of real estate background before you started to host, or hospitality background?
I did. Well, in fact, both of those. And it's interesting that you should ask, because it's funny how things all line up and come together for a reason. So at university, I had studied hotel management. When I finished hotel management, I thought, I don't want to be a glorified housewife, as I saw it, because there was cooking and cleaning and all that fun stuff. So I didn't go down that path, but I'd done the studies. And then I had always had a real interest in real estate. Personally, I like to invest in real estate, but I didn't really know too much about it. So I actually then, only a few years before I started my Airbnb journey, decided to become a real estate agent and did my license and got all my certificates. But I was bored. I was bored sitting in those open homes, waiting for people to come in, and then negotiating a deal for the property owner, which would see them in a flat market sell at below the price that they wanted, or, you know, just that frustration. So I guess the combination of all those things really was created the perfect storm for creating an Airbnb property management business.
Was it the first few minutes when you got the ding on your phone? Like, when did the light bulb happen of like, wait a second, I'm onto something. I want to see what the next steps are. Like, when did the light bulb go off for you? Was it immediate, or did it take some time?
Well, quite honestly, like, the immediate reaction was, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But it didn't really occur to me that I could create a business until probably about a month later. I was showing an investor, a property investor from interstate. She had flown in. She wanted to buy a positive cash flow property. Now, to be quite honest, they just don't exist. Well, they don't in the town that I live in. But I said to her, how about we create one for you? Let's go find a property that you like and I'll sell that to you and I'll collect that commission. Thank you very much. And then let's furnish it to make it Airbnb worthy and I'll go and do the shopping for you and I'll collect a little fee on that. Thank you very much. And thirdly, let me manage it for you because you're all living interstate. You can't do this, the logistics yourself. And I'm just going to charge you a little commission of 25%, thank you, and cha-ching, cha-ching. So that's when the light bulb moment went off. When she said yes to that and we started making money for her and she didn't have to live in the town, she didn't have to have anything to do with that property. And then 6 months later, mind you, she rang me and she said, Julie, do it again. Go find me another property. And she has not seen the second property. I just went out, bought her another property, furnished it, managed it for her. And look, it's that sort of excitement where you can change somebody else's life by a business that you have created. It's bloody fantastic. So, yes, light bulbs going off everywhere.
That is so, okay. That's amazing. And obviously you had a proven understanding of how amazing short-term rental hosting, managing can be for either yourself as an entrepreneur or for the property owners that you're helping build wealth for. But how the heck, what kind of business structure did you create that allowed you to scale so quickly to 130 properties in 3 years? I mean, the learning curve on that isn't, it's not rocket science, but it's also, you've got to know people, you've got to have systems in place. How did you do it?
Yeah, so very good question. And this is probably the one question that stumps a lot of people because they can take on one or two or three properties, but how do you physically look after 130? I mean, we were running equivalent to bigger than the largest hotel in town. And, you know, the media just lapped that up. But look, it was really quite simple. So guys or listeners, get your pen and paper ready because I'm going to give you all the secrets now. So purely and simply, don't overcomplicate it. I didn't use any fancy software. I probably should, but I didn't use any fancy software. I just used the Airbnb system. I used Xero as my accounting and I used a real estate software to create the statements. What I then did was I found some amazing people to come on as contractors and co-hosts. And what I did is I almost set up like a franchise business. So when I had 10 properties, I took on my first partner or co-host, and his name is Glenn. Now, Glenn was 70 at the time. He'd come to the end of his advertising career. He was looking for something more, wanted his own little business. And I said, Glenn, can you clean? And Glenn said yes, and he had personality plus. He liked to flirt with all the ladies. So I said, Glenn, come on board. I'm going to give you 10 properties. You're going to look after all of the messaging. You're going to look after all of the meet and greets, but you need to do them in person. So this is one of the things that I always stipulated, had to eyeball the customer. You're going to clean the property. You're going to make sure that the property, there's no damage, and you're going to make sure it's well maintained. And then you're going to do it all again. He was wrapped because what we did is we did a split. Now, I was charging 25% commission. I then paid Glenn 6% plus the cleaning fee that we would collect from the guest. Okay, so for everybody coming in, I knew that myself, I was collecting 19% and all I was doing was providing the consumables. Okay, so what we did then was, so he had 10 properties. Well, he looked after those 10 properties and maintained just as a co-host on my profile. I would then go out and find another 10 properties and I would then put another person on. And some of my co-hosts would have up to 20, 23 properties maybe themselves, but the deal was the buck stopped with them. They could employ people under them. So they would have cleaners under them or they might have, well, one lady had her auntie, her mother, her cousin working for her. But she had 23 properties and would earn maybe $4,000 a week. So she was earning ridiculously good money. Mind you, if you can work that out, so she's on 6%. I was on 19% of that. So you can kind of see where I'm earning a lot of money. And, yeah, it was basically, if anything went wrong with those properties, she was to blame. But if anything went right with those properties and she could handle more, I would give her another property to look after. So it was purely a, giving people ownership, giving them an opportunity to create their own business under my brand. And so I would look at and geographical locations. So I would have someone based out in the beaches, someone in the city, someone in, you know, particular areas, and they then could partner up with each other as well to give each other a break. So it was really simple, but it works. If you can find people that you can give ownership to, who are loyal, who are willing to, who are enthusiastic, you dangle the carrot of there's no limited income. You're going to train them. You're going to show them the standards. You're going to show them how they act. Look, you just need to be able to and let go, be able to delegate, because that, as we know, is probably, as a business owner, is one of the hardest things, is to be able to say to someone, I trust you, go for it. You do what you need to do. And, of course, the guests that would come in would meet Glenn, 70-year-old Glenn would come and meet them and sometimes pick them up at the airport because he loved people. And they would just naturally assume that they were coming and meeting Julie and her dad or older lover, whatever floats your boat. But they didn't know they were coming to a business. So we kept the mindset of let's keep this really personal. Let's keep it an intimate experience that you're meeting just one or two people. You're going to Julie's place, but you're meeting Glenn, her co-host. And it works. It was such a win-win.
How?
Oh my gosh,
so many questions.
Yeah.
For you.
We're like,
how was it finding the right individual who understands? I mean, I used to work in the hotel industry, and finding concierge or front desk receptionist, that it was a hard job, and there's a lot of turnover in those positions just because of the demand. So, how? Any advice for those listeners out there who are like, all right, Julie, I'm sold. How do I find these amazing people?
Yeah. Look, I poached a lot of people. So I would honestly, if I went into a restaurant and I got superior service from the wait staff, or if there was somebody that really stood out to me, I would actually say, let's go have a coffee. Let's go and have a chat. Because if I could see potential, and I was able to spot potential in people from, I had university staff, I had mums with kids, because we all know that actually mums with children were fantastic.
Yeah.
School mums, because, you know, mums that the kids are in school in that prime time when you need to do a turnover of a property, and when they're not, if they've got the kids with them, it doesn't matter. Airbnb guests love meeting children, and if you have the kids with you, that's fine. So you may find that there is a mum at your school that you know that just might want an opportunity, and maybe she only wants three properties, or maybe she only wants one, but that is going to lighten your load and that will help you. But it's really about spotting that potential. I've got to be honest, probably the best people that I found already had a cleaning background, because cleaning is not everybody's cup of tea. It's certainly not mine. I remember in the early days making 17 beds in one day and just going, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore. Whose stupid idea was this business? And I'm out of here. So I still can't make a bed. I can't fold a fitted sheet. But what you need to do is outsource to people that can. And if you can find people that maybe have that cleaning experience, that want to learn or build a bigger business, and you can help train them with the Airbnb side of things, look, it will pay off. And be generous. Be very generous with the way that you pay people, because, you've got to make sure, like Glenn, he had 10 properties. He was earning on average about $1,500 a week with those 10 properties. That was good money. That was good money for him to be able to run his own business. So, look, keep your eyes open, take the blinkers off, and you will spot the X factor in people out in the street.
I like the X factor. That's good. No, that's great. And I know you're opening my eyes right now to a different way of thinking about hosting and co-hosting the properties, and giving your turnover team, you know, ownership of the property. Ooh, all right. So, but 130 properties though. That's a lot of onboarding in a short amount of time. What were some pitfalls during that time, though? What was there? Help our listeners know, you know, would you have gone slower if you had to do it again, or would there be something different? What's something that you learned that you can pass along?
Yeah, look, I did everything wrong and I made lots of mistakes. And at the time that I was starting up, which is only 4 years ago, so 2016, there were not podcasts like what you ladies are offering. There were not courses. There were not books out there. And so I just had to do it on my own. There was nobody to hold my hand. But a couple of things that I did that I probably wouldn't do again. In the beginning, I was taking any property that I could get my hands on and any owner that I could get my hands on. In about probably 18 months into the business, I changed my tune completely, and I was extremely picky about what properties to take on and what owners to take on. I broke up with a lot of owners.
Okay.
We parted ways. The owners were shocked that I was doing it and would say to me, "You can't break up with me." I said, "Oh, bloody can." Sorry.
I love it.
And you know what? Sometimes those 20% of those headache owners are taking up 80% of your headspace. Get rid of them. The properties, you're going to spend as much time on any one of the properties, whether it is a $100 a night property or it's the $1,000 a night mansion. Aim for the big stuff. Go for the mansions if you can. I remember just one story. I was taking on these little properties, and it was known as the crack house. You can imagine. So to the locals, I was taking on Airbnb properties in the crack house. Yeah, that didn't go down too well with the police there every second night and the cultural experience that was being offered by the neighbours. And it wasn't doing my reviews any good on Airbnb. So in the end, we parted ways. But look, so don't be desperate. Don't try and take on too much of the load yourself. Delegate as much as you can. In the beginning, I was offering to do all the laundry for every property. That was just way
too
much.
Oh, my gosh, girl.
Too much. Outsource it. So then I learned to just give that job to my contractors. As part of your 6% and as part of the cleaning fee, you have to do the laundry. And you're responsible. If you lose a sheet, because we're going to write on the sheets the name of the properties, if you lose a sheet, you have to pay for it. So that was just part of the deal. The other thing I would say is set your expectations with your property owners in black and white right at the beginning, because right at the beginning I didn't, and I would say I would clean your house. Now they are expecting me to clean the outside of their house, the pool fencing, do their gardens. No way. So I then developed a very good form, which I have available on my website, that I put in black and white, this is what we're doing, this is what happens, and everything to do with, like, what happens if somebody gives you their property to manage, but then they take it back from you right before you've got a whole bunch of bookings for Easter. What happens then? You've put in all that hard work as a property manager, and then the owner's taking back the property. So in black and white, I would put in there, I own those bookings, I own that future income, and if you want to get out of it, you're still paying the commission. So, so really set those expectations, but do know that you're going to make mistakes and you're going to learn from them, and you just jump in. And, I wouldn't change a thing, even though I made all those mistakes, because look where it's got me. I'm now living the dream. So guys, yeah, just jump in.
I love it. How did you handle, because you had your overarching brand and then you had, like you said, I love that visual or that but mindset of like little franchises happening underneath you. But did you have brand standards that you tried to impart on all your franchisees I don't know, how you fold towels, how beds are being made? And if you did, how did you enforce those brand standards?
Yeah, very much. So I really, and this was probably the hardest thing, was to trust that people were going to look after the properties like I would.
Right.
But I just had to let go. I had to really step back. To be able to scale up, you have to really work on the business, not in it. And the standards, the photographs you would take that you put up on your listing, I would say to my contractors, you need to replicate these photos. If there is a particular bedspread in the photo, you need to put that on the bed. If the towels are folded a certain way, you need to do that exactly the same. We've got to meet the expectations of the guest. So that was number one. Number two, we would have cleaning standards. So we would say that every time you go into a property, you needed to clean behind the toilet, and you needed to do like all these things. But every third or fourth time you go in, you need to clean out the cupboards in right. the toilet, in the bathroom. Right. So, but we would also do spot checks and cleaning spot checks, because as much as you would rely on the reviews to sort of give you a baseline on how your contractor is performing, that's a bit risky. So you don't want to just rely totally on that. You want to be able to get in there maybe once every 2 months and have a look for yourself. Also, we would open the invitation to the property owners that they can come in, that they can use their property when they want to. They've just got to give us some notice. But when they go in, they are the ones that know what's going on, and they will certainly spot if there's, underneath the sofa, if there's a whole bunch of bags, crisp wrappers or whatever it might be, they're the ones that are going to report back. That's something that we really had to stay on top of. And if we found that the standards were slipping or that they weren't being upheld, we would actually say, look, I'm sorry, we're going to take a property off your portfolio just until you get your standards up. And then when your standards are up, we're going to give you another property. So it was like a reward system, but we had to do it to maintain that 5-star consistency. So it was
And you said we. So other than your franchisees, who was on your immediate team?
Yeah, look, when I got to about 50 properties, I then decided that I had enough money coming in that I could actually step back again and have somebody supervise maybe the five people that were, sorry, I'll go five, but I hold up four fingers.
Yeah. I'll go, girl. Funny,
I promise I haven't been drinking. I put on an area manager. So I employed somebody at that stage, and that employing people is scary because you're actually taking a risk of, no matter what happens in the economic climate, you're still going to have to pay those wages. So I knew at 50 properties I could afford that, and I put on an area manager, firstly for just the initial people, but then when I got to 100 properties, I had two. I had two supervisors, one in the city, one in the beaches. When I got to about 110 properties, I then put on an assistant, kind of cool because we had an office at that stage and I needed somebody sitting at the front desk, but she was able to assist by putting listings together. And so the three ladies that I had employed were the ones that really dealt with the owners. They would go out and do the appraisals of the properties, send a report, set the properties up. They did all the shopping at Kmart and Target and running around and furnishing the properties. They would deal with the pricing, the bookings, the calendars, maintenance. They would organise the tradesmen. So there were only three employees, but we ended up having there was at least 10 contractors on board as well. So it was... I would always recommend the contractors first, but be very wary that in your own state or wherever you live, whatever country you're in, check the legalities of what constitutes a contractor and an employee.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got to be very careful with that and all your tax laws and that type of thing. So all that stuff that you have to worry about, but just the necessary evils.
Sure. Yeah, that's...
Were you working nonstop around the clock these years that you were building this so quickly?
The funny thing was, I was in the first 18 months. Initially, I think anybody listening wanting to replicate what I did, you need to be prepared to put in the long hours, at least for 12 to 18 months. You've got to be able to get in and clean yourself. You've got to know the business from the ground up. You can't just jump in and go, right, I'm going to manage this big company. You've got to learn. And everybody that came on to work for me, even the employees that I was just speaking about, they had to get out and clean toilets for weeks on end as well before they got behind the desk and put on nice high heels. The first 12 to 18 months, yes. Then when I had a team on board that I could rely on, I really stepped back. In the last 12 months, I probably was only working 10 hours a week, probably. I did lots. I loved to travel when I could. And I was promoting the book, and I had such a good team on board that I didn't need to be there so much. So 12 to 18 months, yes. Then you'll find that the money is coming in and the standards and the systems are in place that you can step back even further. So it is not a forever thing, but yes, you have to put in that hard work.
Yeah, absolutely.
that's a fair timeline. I think people can stomach that for for the success. Well, I know listeners are going to want to know, because Sarah and I want to know, okay, well, this is awesome. You're 10 hours a week. Why in the heck do you want to sell it? Was there a carrot that was, you know, like, was it time? Is it time to do something different? Like, what was, obviously there was probably some financial motivation, but how did that pop up in your world? And how did you decide that it was time?
Absolutely valid question. And it gets asked a lot because the business is so amazing. It's self-sufficient. It runs on its own. Why would you want to walk away from that? Even though I was only there maybe 10 hours a week, and I was in control of all the money. So I was paying out all the money, that type of thing. So you still have that stress. You've got 130 properties. You've got hundreds, maybe 400 or 500 people a night that are staying at Julie's property. Look, it was something that a personal decision more than anything, that I just wanted to sleep well at night. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know that even, because if something went wrong, ultimately it still came back to me. And it's, I guess, you know, stress does some silly things to your body. And I think you've got to be very wary when stress is taking over. And anyone who has a read of my book will see that years ago in corporate world, I suffered some burnout and pretty much a bit of a breakdown from stress. And I could feel that sort of coming on again. And it was just a decision to go, right, let's just take away that issue and take away that stressful situation of having to worry about properties, property owners. Oh my gosh, the property owners were worse than the guests. But sorry, I shouldn't say that.
No, keep it honest.
We like honesty. Yeah.
The guests are on their best behavior, knowing that they're getting a review. I wish we could do the same with the property owners. But you know, you've always got that stress that's sort of in the back of your head going, okay, what happens if there's a fire? What happens if somebody hurts themselves? What happens if someone doesn't pay? What happens if Airbnb has an issue? What happens if there's a pandemic in the world? And fortunately for me, I did get out about 6 months prior to COVID coming, you know, and hitting our lives the way it has. Mm-hmm. But I did remain as a shareholder of this larger company that did buy my business. And part of the sale process was that I didn't want my business to change in any way. I wanted my systems to stay in place. I wanted my people to remain employed. I wanted the guest experience to stay exactly the same, and it has. So I'm really proud to have handed over my baby to the adoptive parents that took it on. And I'm super, super stoked with the fact that I now can get around the world by Zoom mostly at the moment, but to talk to people and show them how they can set up a similar business. So, so it was sort of, I hope that answers the question there.
Well, and to keep it, you know, you've been beautifully honest and we really appreciate that. So, you know, people are listening, they hear your great story and everything, and then you're not wrong, right? Like, we as hosts are responsible for these individual units sprinkled all over either your city or your area or your county or your state. And it is like, what if X, Y, and Z happens? So I guess my question is, you obviously still encourage hosts to get into this business and to take on that potential stress. So how do you, when, you know, if you were to coach our listeners right now, like, how do you say, okay, yes, this stressed me out at 130 properties, but what do you say to them if they're like, well, then I don't know if I want to do this, if it's going to get to that point where I can't sleep at night?
It is a risk. It is scary, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it. I guess for me in the end, it was my passion was really about teaching other people as opposed to running a business that I was running. But look, I guess, just make sure that you've got your own insurances in place. Make sure you've got a very good system of reporting damages to Airbnb and do it quickly. Make sure that you have standards. We were talking about standards before, that, you know, you've got those standards in place. You shouldn't have any or too many issues. Be very strict at who you accept into the property. And so have some pretty good house rules in place with your listing. Yeah, I guess just be aware that, yes, things can go wrong, but it's all about how you're going to handle it and how are you going to, what contingencies would you have? Do you have other properties that you can put people into if something, a water pipe bursts, or are you prepared to pay for a hotel room that night if you can't accommodate people in your own room? You just, sometimes you just have to do that type of thing, and you will feel better doing it yourself. I mean, I have had situations where I've had people, I remember there was a gentleman, not a gentleman, a jerk who had broken into one of our properties, and he broke in, and in the middle of the night he stole these lovely, these two young girls, they're only 20, 21, but he stole their laptops, their passports, all that sort of information. They were left with nothing. The next day I personally went around there, look, you know, making sure they were okay, made sure they could bring their families, gave them money out of my own wallet and never saw that money again. But that was okay because I just felt like these women had come from Europe. That was their first experience overseas. I just felt responsible for them. But by looking after them and playing mum to them, it just, you know, it's just what you've got to do. But be prepared. Things are possibly going to go wrong, but the payoff is you get to meet some amazing people. You get to change not only your life, but you're going to change property owners' lives. You're going to change people that work for you, their lives. Your life will turn 360 for the better by taking on this business. And, yeah, I would absolutely do it again in a heartbeat.
That was the next question, is would you do it again? You already answered that, my next thing is some of the guests we have on who have larger enterprises like you did, they also say like, listen, you know, there might be a sweet spot, right? Like maybe at, if you did the math, like at 60 properties, you could have still been wildly successful, half, you know, over half less of the properties to worry about and still lived a great life. So do you, to our listeners, is the goal to have as many properties as possible, or is the goal to really look at the numbers and see what you need to have the life that you want to build for yourself?
Yeah. So I found 100 properties was my sweet spot. The 100 properties allowed me to have enough income no matter what the economic climate to pay my 3 employees plus my rent on my property, my office space that I had. Now the office space, for instance, that just absolutely exploded my business for the better. So anyone thinking of getting an office space, just having that signage, having that credibility in town and the community being able to go, wow, this girl is not a fly by night. She's not working from her bedroom, which I was originally. and that actually did wonders for my business. But 100 properties was my sweet spot. Once I got to that 100 properties, it was on. I just wanted as many properties as I could, but good quality properties and good quality owners, because I could just see every property after that 100 was profit. And, man, you know, when you are seeing more than 500, I remember one month we had more than $500,000 in income come in one month. You should have seen the champagne corks popping. It was it was so awesome, you know, and here I am writing a book called Million Dollar Host. If I'd just waited another year, I could have put multi-million dollar host. So it's, you know, I guess take your blinkers off. If you have got a goal, don't limit yourself with just thinking that you can get to 100 properties. Take the blinkers off and absolutely reach for the stars, because I promise you, it will happen.
Impressive.
So good.
So what advice, these hosts, they are like, they're excited, they're ready to go. Like, what's some advice that you could give them? You know, we're just into the new year. If they had, you know, I have 5 minutes with you, what's the advice you would give somebody? Like, I want to do, like, where do I start right now today?
Yeah. Okay, educate yourself, because there are so many platforms, including, I know that you ladies are offering, look at what you're doing with the podcast. If listeners, anybody who's tuning in right now, getting excited about what we're talking about, make sure that you're listening to regular podcasts. You're getting as much information off YouTube that you can. There's lots of free information. You are reaching out to people who have done it already. You're buying a book. There you go. There's a good book I can recommend. You educate yourself as much as you possibly can, because you don't want to make the mistake that I made in the beginning, like I was saying. If you can shortcut that, you can find some secret ways around. Do grab those tips, grab that information. So educate yourself. But the second thing I would say is don't hesitate. Don't let fear get in the way of you getting that first property to manage. Just get out there, find a property, find your neighbor's property, find your cousin's property, find any property that you can. And this kind of goes against me saying, don't just be picky. But in the beginning, just find a property. Mm-hmm. If you have to put a tent up in your backyard to Airbnb, if you need to get your RV out of the car park and, you know, and dress it up, do it. You've got a boat in the marina, get that boat listed. Some of the most wackiest ideas are the best for Airbnb. And our most profitable one that we've got in my region at the moment, we're in the tropics. We've got an Eskimo and an igloo sort of set up. Like a, so we've got, there's five igloos down on the beachfront with an Eskimo figure at the front. And they are the number one Airbnb.
Wow, of course they are.
So random, but it works. So guys, don't hesitate. As Nike said, just do it. And jump on board.
Well, okay. But Julie, there is this virus going around. You got out before it started, but I didn't. And, you know, we got cancellations. Then the summer is okay. And then we're back down to lockdown. So where do you see this industry going? Is there still money to be made? What's the future of travel? Do you have the crystal ball, Julie?
Okay, my little crystal ball, because I am a day ahead of you in Australia.
That's right. How's it going?
So it's pretty good. Sun's shining and there's kangaroos out my window at the moment. Probably not going to happen to you. But this coronavirus has certainly put a bit of a pinprick into our industry. But I have got good news. I just think that it's probably going to be the best thing that will ever happen to the hospitality industry in terms of the short-term rental industry. I believe that moving forward, you're not going to find that guests are going to want to stay in a hotel. They're going to want to stay in a property that they can cook their own meals, that they have got space, that they're not in crowds, and that they are feeling that you've just got your own living space. So I think that short-term rentals is going to be super, super popular. I also see, and this is something that I've seen, that rural short-term rentals are going to be extremely popular. So the city properties are not doing as well as rural at the moment because people want to escape and get away from the crowds. I see that we're going to have a lot more longer stays. So what I would advise people is while we're in the middle of this horrible pandemic at the moment and until we get vaccines and we have borders open again and travel, I would be preparing your properties. I would be looking for properties to manage. And at the moment, I would possibly be flexible and putting longer-term tenants in them. So you may find a property, but you might find someone who wants it for 2 months. So just put them in there and just put it to the side. But at least you've got that management agreement. But set your properties up for those longer-term stays as well. Have excellent Wi-Fi and make sure that one of the main photos on your listing is your Wi-Fi speed and your download information. Put that on there because that's what everyone's looking for. Make sure you've got a desk space or a workspace. Make sure that there is, you know, just think about long-term workers. What are they going to want in your property? And if you can provide that as well as very short-term, I think that is the best thing you could possibly do at the moment.
The Wi-Fi picture is clutch. I was just reading an article about that this week because you don't want to disappoint. I know a lot of work from homers. It was interesting. They had some people that were booking places to live in for a month and they actually had to book alternative places to go during the day because the Wi-Fi there, you know, there'd be like four people staying there and the Wi-Fi was so bad. They actually had to rent alternative spaces so everybody could actually work because they were kind of locked in. They're like, well, we're here for a month, but we need better Wi-Fi. So they would rent other spaces with better Wi-Fi. Yeah. But we have to ask this because we want to know. So we're excited about STR, but what's next for Julie? Like what's your vision for yourself and helping hosts and what does that look like?
Yeah. Look, I just get such a thrill, as I said before, you know, of just seeing other people succeed. So I invite people to reach out to me. They can simply contact me through my website. If I go different ways and sit on the host of milliondollarhost.com.au. Half an hour free consultations I do just because I just love talking to people and meeting people. But if I can help people from there, I offer paid consultations. I sell my book. I sell all the documents and the templates that I use in my business close to my home. I now have in Word format that people can purchase and download and then put their own logo on and use that for themselves. So that's what I sort of offer. But to be quite honest, I just can't wait to travel again and to get back to the States. I went twice last year and talking at conferences and talking at events. I do lots of media at the moment and I do so many Zooms. Holy moly, I'm Zoomed out by the end of the day. But it's just all about connecting with people. So I guess I'm hoping 2021 will bring a lot more of that, building my profile, because I guess, you know, a lot of people reach out now to me because of my story, what I've been able to achieve. And I just hope I can inspire others and motivate others. And look, as I said, if we just reach one person with today's podcast, job done. And folks, if you are listening to this podcast and you do have some inspiration from it and you do succeed, please share your story. Please come back to us and let us know, because it's super, super cool when someone comes back and goes, well, actually, I've got something up on my board at the moment of somebody who had just made $1 million last year from following the advice that I'd given him. And he sent me this amazing poster saying, you know, from the kindness of Julie George, I've been able to reach my $1 million mark. And he printed out his Airbnb transaction history for me, put it in a poster, and I've got it up on my wall at the moment. So it's so cool to hear the success stories, and I'm sure that you ladies would like to hear, you know, something that has come from this podcast as well.
Yeah,
sure. So listeners, again, Julie had said it, but it is milliondollarhost.com.au. Please reach out to her, like all the things that she does, connect with her on all the platforms, buy her book, give her some love there. But we're so thankful that we had you on. I know that we're going to be following you very closely, and we're just pumped that you're giving people a new lens to look through on what the opportunity is for them.
Yeah. Yeah, Julie, thank you so much for coming here and being such an open book. It's like any question we asked you, you were like, yes, and here are all the deets. So, but I know that there are so many more details we can dive into in terms of, you know, how you work that with your cleaning teams and what is that meet and greet like? And so I know you cover it all in your book. And so listeners, again, show Julie some love, support her there. And thank you so much for your time, Julie.
Thank you, ladies. Looking forward to meeting you in person one day.
Yes. Yes. At a conference or something fun like that.
Or we'll come stay in the igloos. We can do that too.
Yeah, we can do that too.
I'll put the wine on the ice.
Yeah. And I want Glenn to come too, if Glenn can come hang out also.
He would flirt up a storm with you too. So yes, don't worry.
Bring Glenn on. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Julie.
All right, listeners. I'm Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, We will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.